Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Guest coming up who's even addressing United Nations on security issues and what's happening with the internet, with the software. But right now, let's go back to your calls. And then, by the way, in the third hour, we got Michael Rivera of whatreallyhappened.com joining us. Right now, let's go to Chris in Arkansas. Then we'll talk to Nathan and Eddie and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Chris.
Well, if you're talking to a guy from the United Nations, you can tell me one out of it.
No, I said he has addressed the United Nations.
Oh, he's addressing the United Nations. Okay, I got you. Well, you were talking earlier about just word games and doublespeak and things like that. And you can look in public schools in their textbooks, and they'll say things like random mutations produce the genetic material required to create new organisms. They'll say stuff like that, and they won't show a picture of it or anything.
And that's not true. It doesn't create a new organism. Random mutations change the coding of that specific organism, but it's not a new organism. And, there's lots of deceptions. Or they'll say you have a right to not be in danger from guns. You have a right to turn your guns in.
And you get into stuff like where you'll have anti-abortion and pro-life, you know, and things of that nature. There's all those kinds of word games, but I would just really urge the American people to get an assault rifle and learn how to use it. That is your right as a citizen. It's your birthright, what our founding fathers said. The sword is the birthright of an American citizen. Get an assault rifle and learn how to use it. It doesn't mean that you're some kind of whacked out criminal because you own a rifle.
Well, I'll rest my case on this. Statistically, people in government, period, are more criminal than any other strata of society. And that's throughout history, through modern statistics, all over the world. It's common sense, but you can go look those numbers up. People can say, well, statistics lie. No, folks. You know, there are some statistics like more people die on during the holidays from drunk drivers than any other time. You know, there's a lot of statistics that we really know are down pat. And government is where criminals radiate. It's very corrupting. Why do we trust the government then to have government guns but not the people? You see, this is the warped mindset.
That's a foundation of our entire country. I wanted to bring up one other thing, Alex. It's real interesting in the Bible where in Genesis, the earth, there was no civil government. It was a patriarchal system. Everything was run by the fathers, the heads of the families, and the earth became extremely, extremely wicked. As a result of that, of course, the flood happened, which there's evidence of that all over the planet, a global flood. But anyways, the flood happened, and so after the flood, God institutes civil government, and it's just interesting, that paradigm, because you have in the beginning of mankind's history, there's no government, and the whole planet's just going crazy, and it's just mass brutality everywhere. So then what does God do? He comes in, he sets up government to protect the innocent and punish evildoers, and now it looks like humanity has turned that right around on its head and has corrupted what God has given us. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, that gets into Romans 13 and all of it. And clearly, the entire Bible and just our history and common sense says you fight corrupt governments. But people say, no, Romans 13, we should submit to Hitler. We should submit to Stalin. We should do whatever they say. In fact, we shouldn't be against abortion because the government says it's good. And that's just ridiculous. It's all taken out of context. According to Romans 13, if you take it out of context, our founding fathers were devil worshipers. All right, we'll be right back, folks, with our guests. You don't want to miss this. And then we'll also have a lot of other news. And another great guest is joining us later. Stay with us. Your call's coming up as well. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the document of truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul-tasting odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community.
I never voted for a war criminal. Have you?
Real conservatives hate Bush.
Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626.
If only our president would listen to his God.
Perhaps Jenna Bush.
Osama bin Forgotten.
Go to LibertyStickers.com and express your freedom of speech today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
First guest today, here as we start the second hour, is Richard Stallman, founder of the Free Software Movement, the GNU Project, and the Free Software Foundation. Stallman is a political activist who recently caused a stir at the United Nations World Summit on the Information Society, at which he was a featured speaker, but openly protesting their use of RFID technology by wrapping his identity badge in tinfoil.
Aluminum foil.
Yes, aluminum foil. Mr. Stallman, I would also add, of course, that they're going to the very invasive technologies of face scanning and the rest of it, where it doesn't even matter if we carry the chip, and it doesn't even matter if we don't want to be part of it. They're going to force us. But I find it interesting that they want us to submit to the chip in our ID card, the chip in our Visa. They want us to put our thumb down at the grocery store biometrically. Why do you think that is?
Well, obviously, I can speculate. They just want to know what everybody's doing all of the time. I don't generally buy things with credit cards because I don't want any database to know what I bought. I pay cash.
Well, I want to talk about why you do that. First off, a little bit about yourself. We were talking earlier. It sounded great. Can you back off your phone?
Back off? I mean, move my mouth a bit further from the microphone?
Yes, sir.
Is this good?
Yeah, that's perfect. Just try to keep it there. I'm sorry. It was just overdriving. Richard, tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's say for laymen out there, people just tuning in, like, you know, why does Alex have this guy on the air? Basically, what are your main focuses?
Well, I started the free software movement. Now, free software doesn't mean gratis software. It's not a matter of price. Think of free speech, not free beer, is what I've been saying for 20 years. Free software means you're free to share it. Nobody's going to call you a pirate because you shared with your neighbor. And not just free to copy it and share it, but also free to study what it does and change it so you can make it do what you want. If, with ordinary proprietary software, the developer is completely in control. The developer makes it do what he wants, and you can just take it or leave it. Of course, a lot of people will say, I can't afford to leave it. I have to use it. So effectively, they control what your computer
now,
does.
Now, let me boil this down for people and see if you say this is accurate, Richard Stallman. Here's an example. Let's say Sequoia voting machines or Diebold voting machines. They say it's proprietary. Even the city or county using or the state can't look into what's inside. The city doesn't listen. They break into it. It's got a wireless modem. And someone at one of the companies who's a felon, and this is not just hypothetical, is accessing it, manipulating it live time during the election, but then, say, Diebold, real world, with the felon running their software in California, says, we'll sue you if you do that again. That's our software. You can't even look at what it's doing. It's like Microsoft
That's
saying...
That's an example. That's an example of proprietary software. Now, I don't have proprietary software installed in my computer because any proprietary software is denying your freedom. So I started this movement 22 years ago where we develop our own software and we do everything with our own free software, and that means we don't use proprietary software
anymore. Now, I know you're not Red Hat Linux or any of that, but that's a good point for people who know a little bit about computers to understand what you're saying. But you say that's different from what you do.
Well,
but, I mean,
actually, let me explain. I launched the development of a free operating system called GNU, and through a confusion that happened about 12 or 13 years ago, most of the people who use it think it's Linux. Actually, Linux is one of the important pieces of the system, which was developed in 1991, and it was made free software in 1992. So these people really are using Linux, but Linux isn't what they think it is. They're using the GNU operating
system. So it's like you're Leif Erikson who discovered America, and you called it Big Greenland, but then 500 years later, Columbus came along and he called it America.
Well, I don't think Columbus called it America, but in any case...
I'm being sarcastic, yes.
Called it
India.
It's a little bit like that. Anyway, though, the developer of Linux really contributed an important piece, but it's just one piece. So if you call it GNU and Linux, you'll give us an equal mention, and I think that's fair.
Why is it, why 20 years ago did you see this threat? Did you get involved?
Well, because I had an unusual experience. In the 1970s, I was part of a community of programmers who shared our work all the time. That was our way of life. And I loved being part of that community. I saw that that was a good way to treat each other. And then the community was wiped out by commercial pressure. And what I saw in front of me was proprietary software, things like Windows and Mac OS and all the other proprietary software you've surely heard of. And that was the same as what happened to everybody else who was thinking of using computers at the time. But because I had seen an alternative, I was morally outraged by what I saw.
You and a lot of other pioneering experts that I've read have said that clearly this has held back computing and software many years. How many years would you say?
I don't know, because you see, I don't actually even care whether it held back technical progress, because I know that it takes away the user's freedom, and I'm more concerned about freedom than technical progress. I would trade some technical progress for some freedom any day.
So you found out about this 20 years ago, and then you launched, if GNU is a larger system and Linux is just a part of that, can you explain to us what your root software was? Is?
Well, GNU stands for GNU's Not Unix, which is a humorous way of saying it's similar to Unix. It works the same way Unix does, but we wrote every piece of it afresh because Unix is proprietary software and we couldn't use that. So A Unix-like operating system is a collection of hundreds of different pieces, some big, some small, and they all have to work together. So we were just making piece after piece after piece, and in some cases we found a piece that someone else had made, and then when there was one important gap left, then Linus Torvalds developed Linux, and that filled the last gap. So he essentially put the last stone in place to make the whole building.
I understand. I want to get into some of the topics that you think are most important and talk about your point of getting into the United Nations by blocking their RFID tracker chip.
Actually, I should explain, when I went through the security to get in, I unwrapped the badge because they, of course, were going to look at it. I wasn't refusing to show them my badge. They also scanned it against a machine when I went in through the gate. But while I was walking around inside of the event, they didn't say they were checking anything, so why should it be having an RFID that was scannable? So then I covered it back up.
So you're making the point that it could potentially be tracking people inside of there. But let's go to another real-world example of this, and tell me if I'm right, sir. And again, we're honored to have you. Take Bill Gates in the 70s. He goes, makes a deal with IBM, and then basically for the next 20 years had an almost total monopoly on the operating system that was used, built all these back doors into it for the NSA and Big Brother, and it's a sick joke. It makes me very, very angry. Plus, it now has proliferated the viruses and the hacking and all these problems because we've got 80% of the market, and that's with an erosion of the monopoly going. Give us your take on that. I mean, how Gates did this and your whole view on it.
This is a secondary consequence of the fact that it was proprietary software, and that gives the developer power over the users. You see, with free software, since everyone is free to copy it, redistribute it, that includes selling copies, and free to study what it does and change it, none of these things are possible. There's never a monopoly with free software, because even if suppose everybody likes one program and everybody uses more or less the same program, everybody's free to adapt it and distribute their own versions of it, so you get free competition anyway. Whereas when you're using proprietary software, even if there's a choice of different products, you might think a choice of products means it's not a monopoly, but that's a mistake, because in fact the support for any of those programs.
Yeah, the base licensing. The base licensing is the same foundation.
Exactly. The crucial point is not whether there's an apparent monopoly. It's whether the program respects your freedom or tramples it. Proprietary software tramples your freedom, and the solution that I came up with 22 years ago was, let's build an alternative, and then we won't use the proprietary software.
Well, I mean, that was a visionary thing you did, and you really are credited as being one of the first people to really push that and to have stuck with it, and I only commend you. Are they starting to panic and get angry? It seems they are, that
yes.
there are so many alternatives now burgeoning.
Gandhi said, I think, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. And we're at the fight you stage, but companies like Microsoft are actively trying to fight us all around the world with the help of their government in Washington. Microsoft tries to utilize, should I say, every institution that has social influence to turn it into an agent of promoting Microsoft software. They try to use governments, they try to use schools, they try to use the NGOs that say their goal is to promote digital literacy. They say to those NGOs, teach people to use Windows.
They've got lots of little phony grassroots fronts.
Oh, yes, they do. And phony think tanks, too. Or think tanks for hire that they just hire to produce reports that say
so
what Microsoft wants them to say.
They're literally social mercenaries. They'll just, it's a rent-a-mob.
Exactly. They will buy the support of any kind of institution that they think can help them direct society into a path of permanent dependence, which is almost like an addiction.
Well, this is amazing, sir. I mean, this is right up my Allie here. This is what I've organically seen, and we're on the same page. Please stay with us. We've got a quick break, sir. We're going to come back. I want to give out websites, information, how people can support what you're doing. We're talking to Richard Stallman, founder of the Free Software Movement. We'll be right back.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylamines, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements. Get a 2-pack for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175. Call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
If you think your engine is safe by having the oil changed every 3,000 miles, think again. Every time you start your car, your engine creates friction between the moving parts. These moving parts wear against each other, and the result is small metal particles circulating through your oil, causing premature wear and damage to your engine. Oil filters do a good job of trapping the large metal particles, but they will not trap the most harmful tiny particles. These tiny particles circulate constantly through your oil, and over time, your engine begins to show signs of wear. This is why you need the Filter Mag. The Filter Mag is a powerful magnet that holds itself to the outside of your oil filter, trapping the tiny metal particles to the inside wall of the filter, extending the life of your oil and ultimately extending the life of your engine. The reusable Filter Mag is maintenance-free, installs in 2 seconds, and lasts forever. So what are you waiting for? Go to filtermag.com. That's filtermag.com. Or call 800-345-8376. That's 800-345-8376.
Do you desire to increase your energy levels and relieve your pain and stress without chemicals, drugs, or expensive supplements? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. For those unique, one-of-a-kind holiday items, click on trivortex.com to give those special gifts that will improve health and well-being, as well as amaze and astound. This is Brian David Anderson, researcher and inventor of the Trivortex technology products, wishing you and yours a joyous holiday season.
Folks, the average American, when you get a T-bone steak at the grocery store, do you even think about where it came from? I mean, I know you know it came from a cow, but do you even consciously think of that? You think about where electricity, those light bulbs over your head came from. Do you think about What's behind this? Why suddenly 5 years ago did all our police start wearing black Nazi uniforms? Admittedly for intimidation. Did you find out about the federal grant? You know, I see basically what Richard Stallman's doing as really trying to get more freedom to the people and looking at the architecture, the foundations behind everything our civilization is now being based on. Nobody asks you. In fact, the internal polls and focus groups show you hate RFID, almost 80% of you. You hate face scanning. You hate biometrics. It doesn't make you more secure. Their own documents show that. Why do they want it? Because it literally, in cyberspace, will make the real world part of cyberspace and will attach every item in your home, everything you buy, to an RFID chip for total matrix-like control. I don't know if Richard Stallman agrees with that, but I think that that's what we see being constructed, and he is attacking their very architecture. Richard, would you like to comment on those statements?
I agree that that's the danger. I don't know how far or how fast things will move in that direction, but it's a scary direction to go in, even if we don't get all the way there. And I'm trying to fight against it in every way that I see. I still have an office at MIT. I quit my job at MIT to start the GNU project 22 years ago, but they let me have an office for old time's sake. And a year and a half ago, the lab moved into a building where the doors are opened by an RFID in MIT ID cards. Every MIT ID card has an RFID. And they actually keep track of who opens the doors. So when I found this out, I said, I'm not going to carry one of those IDs. In fact, I don't even have one. I refuse to get one. They expire every year anyway. It's so fast, it's hardly worth the trouble. So someone developed a machine I can use. When I push a button, it transmits as if it were the RFID, and it transmits the number of somebody else. So the result is that, A, it doesn't transmit at all except when I push the button, and B, when it does, they can't identify it as me. So that's what I use.
And this just shows...
What?
This just shows what a fraud these systems are.
Yeah, well, it's not really very secure at all. Now, that, of course, is something they might be able to fix. It just takes some attention and thought.
Back to the UN thing here for just a moment. I was reading out of Information Week that they actually picked up on the fact that you weren't letting your RFID chip be read and that that alerted them to actually come over to you.
Well, I don't know about that. What I do know is that as I was getting ready to speak at the event, which was why I'd been invited to this summit, some police came over and asked to speak with me if I would please move aside, and I said loudly, whatever you want to say to me, you can say right here.
This is from the podium.
Yes. And at the end of the event, well, then they sort of backed off, but at the end of the event, they actually wouldn't let me out of the room for a while. So, unless I took the aluminum foil off my badge. So I said loudly, they're not allowing me to leave the room. I'm a prisoner in this room.
But clearly, sir, 2 + 2 = 4, unless you told a bunch of people, did they know that you had covered the badge with the aluminum?
Well, they could easily see it, right? That's the whole point. It's a visible protest. I had brought a box of aluminum foil, and I was handing out strips of aluminum foil to anybody who wanted to join
but
in my
protest. But it shows that clearly they wanted to track you around with it.
Well, they said that they had a rule that the badges must be visible, and I said, if you wanted me to show the badge, you should not have put an RFID in it. Anyway, I just loved every minute of this, because I figured the bigger this got, the more good it could do. So I was actually elated through all of this.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir, we got a break again. We got a long segment coming up, plenty of time to talk. I'd like you to get into why the establishment's getting angry. I love that quote of Gandhi. I use it every week. It was great to hear you say it, that, you know, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, then you win. And that's totally true. And now they really are attacking us. They really are panicking. They're openly saying they're losing control, not just in public statements, but in strategy documents. And I want to talk about that. And I want to also talk about some of the websites in your organization and how people can rebel against this by some of your suggestions and ideas you've got. So again, we're honored to have you. We'll come back with Richard Stallman, who is the founder of the free software movement, just an absolute giant.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Have you ever heard of the Genocide Convention Treaty to the United Nations? Did you know that it's a direct assault upon your freedom of religion? Did you know that if you mention perverted sex acts as being wrong according to the Bible, you could be arrested and tried for causing mental harm to others? It's already law in Canada, Australia, Britain, and Sweden, where Christians are being tried and deprived of freedom of speech. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free order line number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Our operators are standing by to receive your call.
Architecture of our lives. You ever seen the movie The Truman Show? Where his whole life from being a baby is living in a TV show. His wife isn't his wife. His parents aren't his parents. It's a false reality. Well, literally, it's like we've been on the plantation grounds our whole life and we never question what's around us. The language is being changed. It's not getting better, folks. It's getting worse. And the globalists, their own white papers say their final plan is to dumb you down, is to totally control you, and to basically entertain you to death. It's more of the Brave New World than the 1984-style tyranny. You know, pleasure you to death, basically, which in many cases is worse than even knowing you're a slave in the 1984-type universe. I would call an amalgamation of the two. Richard Stallman, what are some websites or key places we can visit? I mean, up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, we've got links over to some of the sites. But where should our listeners visit?
Well, to learn about free software and the GNU system, look at www.gnu.org. That's spelled G-N-U. There's also the website of the Free Software Foundation, which is fsf.org. And then I have a personal website where I do other things, you know, put up several political notes every day, and also post things like my song parodies and some political cartoons, which I write and then find other people to draw for me.
Oh, really? If those are funny, can I play one or two on the show?
Sure, although they're text, not recordings.
Oh,
but
maybe
I'll sing them for you.
Yeah, maybe you could sing
if you want it. But you know, take a look at them first, and then you'll decide if you really want it. You can have me do it.
Well,
I got a
sniggin' suspicion we agree on more than we disagree, sir. Let's get back to what we talked about 15 minutes ago. I said, is the establishment getting angry? The noises I'm saying, the things I'm seeing, tells me that they really are starting to figure out, and they're arrogant, so I think they're figuring it out late, that they really are losing their control rather quickly, and they're now moving with a lot of different things, internet taxation, regulation, all this, to try to shut that down. Give us your educated comment on that.
Well, I'm not completely sure which is the issue. If the issue is free software, then yes, Microsoft and often working together with Hollywood and the record companies are trying to prohibit a lot of kinds of free software. A law is being considered in France now that would prohibit a somewhat vague range of free software if it doesn't have digital restrictions management in it. If it could be used for forbidden copying, then it would be prohibited, and it's hard to tell just what range of free software might be prohibited by that law. There have been similar proposals in the U.S., and of course there already is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is the law that prohibits distribution of free software to play a DVD. There's free software to play a DVD, but anyone openly distributing this in the U.S. gets attacked.
Now, let's explain that. We're not saying somebody goes out and gets someone's already existing software to access the memory on a DVD. We're talking
about...
that's
what it is.
But what I'm saying is, sir, people have written software that will play a DVD, and they're not even allowed to give it away?
Exactly. Although I should point out, being free software, that's a matter of freedom, not price. So you can give away copies and you can sell copies. Both are permitted with free software.
I know, but you're saying under this Millennium Digital Act that they're trying to restrict you even giving it away.
Exactly. This program called DECSS, which was developed by a few clever hackers in Europe, is forbidden in the U.S. and in some countries in Europe as well. And the U.S. government is actively trying to impose these laws on other countries.
So that's like saying you can't even open your own car company and make your own cars.
Exactly. Or you can't even repair your own car. A proprietary program is like a car whose hood is locked and you don't have the key.
And it's designed with planned obsolescence to fall apart.
Often, yes.
By the way, a lot of people don't even know that. It's admitted a lot of software has engineered bugs that pop up on an average of every 2 years to make you buy the next software, even if you don't need it.
It wouldn't surprise me. I haven't heard of that one, but there are many malicious features in non-free software. Because, you see, once the developer has power over you, once you can't look at the software and study what's in it and fix it if it's broken, that puts the developer in a position where it's easy to abuse you in other ways. It's a temptation that's always there. So, of course, some of them give into it.
Well, I go back to the voting. Oh, you can't look under the hood to see if we're ripping you off in this election. And then that's in control of our entire republic.
Yeah, but actually I have to point out, if the voting machine is running free software, that's not enough to make the election fair. Suppose it's running free software. That means you and the city officials and everyone can study that source code, and you can verify that it's an honest program. But how do you know that somebody didn't put in a modified version the night before the election?
Oh, yeah. No, you have to monitor it live time as well.
Well, what I'd say is two things. Either a voter-verified paper ballot, or use hardware that has no computers in it and can't be programmed at all. That's what they do in India. They have voting machines. They're electrical. They're not computerized. They can't be programmed. They have fixed functions. They do certain things. Nobody can play with that. So these are the only two safe possibilities that I've seen to use electronics in a voting machine.
Well, I know
either
I've read
paper
this.
Ballots or so simple that nobody can program it, nobody can change it at all.
Well, I know this despots all over the world are busy buying the new special electronic voting machines. They just love them. It's funny. But countries that are somewhat free won't get near them with a 10-foot pole, but America is the pioneer of it. Folks, this shows how far down the rat hole we've gotten. Go to Infowars.com if you want to link through over to Richard Stallman's website, some of his different websites and organizations that he's founded and heads up. Richard, where do you see things going in the future, and what do you think the most important issues are or substrata of those issues right now?
Well, I can't see the future. My crystal ball is cloudy today and every day. All I can try to see are tendencies that I'm aware of in the present, and I'm sure you're aware of most of the same ones. I mean, we have a sort of, you might say, media government complex where the right wing can do all sorts of horrible things and they don't get much of a scandal about it, whereas Clinton has sex, depending on your definition of sex, and he gets impeached. I mean, with a media system like that, it's hard to keep anybody honest, and that's how we get Bush's war on integrity. So I think that information is the key. Informing people, taking away the control of the corporate world over the information that enables us to tell when our politicians are doing something wrong.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of Internet, too? Because I've read where they announced the end of the Internet, and they say they're not going to upgrade the hubs and the switching systems for the first Internet. They're going to have this new Internet where they force you to be through a university or a subdomain. They're going to have all these speech rules and all these software rules. And
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah. Well then.
I haven't heard about that.
I mean, I understand.
IPv6, which is a somewhat different protocol, but I heard about a project called Internet 2, but it seemed to be a rather small thing.
Well, it's got big backers. Well, I mean, you're right, but that's the problem. The world's so complex, none of us can know about everything. So I was seeing what you thought about. There's a lot, of course, I have no idea about. But no, Internet 2 is quite serious because it's going to be kind of like a private/governmental Internet with all these new rules, and then they're going to just start basically not upgrading the government switching hubs and file sharing.
Well, I don't think that's too much. I mean, the government doesn't run most of the Internet now, and whether or not the government updates its Internet facilities is sort of irrelevant to most of us.
Well, by that, and I've read all the technical data on it, but over time it gets a little bit foggy in my brain as well. But basically, with ICANN and these other groups, the government, basically the U.S. government, the NSA, who helped build it, I mean, obviously you know that DARPA, is deciding what that architecture will be, and they're the puppeteers. And what they're saying is that like the file name servers, over the DNS, that they're just going to start letting those corrode, basically.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about this to talk about it, so I think it's not useful for us to discuss this, unless maybe another time if you've sent me information I could try to think about it. Today it might be more useful to talk about something else.
Microsoft Platform Systems, what do they have, about 20% of the market right now? I mean, 80%? And then alternative systems are about 20?
I don't know. You see, I don't actually think that alternative systems are a good thing because I'm concerned with whether the system respects my freedom or not. So consider macOS. It's not made by Microsoft, but most of it is not free software either. So as far as I'm concerned, it's just as bad as Windows.
Shouldn't we always go after what the biggest monopoly is, though?
No. The idea of the free software movement is let's live in freedom. Let's build a land in cyberspace where we can live in freedom. And it really doesn't matter who's making the non-free software because we don't want any of it, no matter who it comes from. So we just turn our backs on them.
Okay,
we
well, here's
our backs on them 22 years ago.
Richard, here's a yardstick then. Do you have any numbers on how many pieces of free software, even though they're trying to prohibit it, and that is something you build, folks, and then they're saying you're not allowed to give it away. Understand that. How many pieces of free software, just ballpark number, are being produced in a year now versus 10 years ago? I mean, from what I've seen, it's exponentially greater.
Of course, a free program is usually not produced during 1 year. It usually keeps on improving over many years. There are programs that I wrote in the 1980s that are still being improved by people and are used by millions now.
Sure. How many people are using free software?
The estimates are tens of millions, perhaps 100 million. But nobody knows for sure because everybody's free and nobody has to report it. You don't have to tell people. You don't have to tell anybody.
Well, I would think even somebody whose main platform is non-free software is at the very same time, while they're on the Internet every day, using free software.
They could be. For instance, even if you're running Windows, you might have installed Mozilla or Firefox as your web browser, and that's mostly free software. The source is free software. Their binaries include a bit of non-free software, which is a sad thing. But basically, it's a lot of free software, and there are many people using that. So some free software is rather popular. I think two-thirds of the web servers in the world are running some version of the Apache web server. Now, the Apache web server itself is free software, but about half of them, I think, are running a non-free modified version of Apache. So they're not all running a program that really respects their freedom, but they've all got some code in there that was made as free software.
Well, Richard, going back to Big Brother, we know that Microsoft is in cahoots with the intelligence agencies. We know that they're trying to use government agreements to continue their oligopoly or their monopoly of an oligopoly. We know that there's incredible surveillance and RFID and biometric access going into the main systems. We know this grid, this Iron Curtain, is dropping all around us. Obviously, you're out there protesting RFID, the face scanning. All of this is going into place. They openly say with RFID and all products, they'll track it from the factory to the business to your home to the garbage, what you buy, what you sell, what you do, a whole history of everything you buy, sell, and do. I mean, the cookies are already doing this. Just how bad do you think it'll get before it gets better?
I have no idea because I can't foretell the future.
Okay, how bad is it currently then?
Well, some people are getting tortured and some people are getting killed. And political activists get harassed intentionally, systematically.
And they're on the verge of banning any criticism of the government that's war-related, 7 years in prison in Australia.
Yeah. It's really scary. I've just got an invitation to Australia, and I said, we're going to have to study this. I might get arrested for things I say if I go to Australia.
By the way, folks, we're not exaggerating about that. I mean, this is not a joke. Well, all over the place, the neocon talk show hosts are calling every day for arresting anybody that criticizes the government. They say that's patriotism when the founding fathers said the complete opposite.
Yeah, well, that's what scoundrels will do. You know, they'll distort anything. They have no respect for anything except the victory of their own side. I saw a commentary in the New York Sun, which said Bush and Blair should have bombed the headquarters of Al Jazeera. And so I thought, well, gee, would you like someone to bomb the headquarters of the New York Sun?
Well, that's the schizophrenia. They'll say Saddam was evil. He allegedly tortured. And then, and he had rape rooms when, by the way, our people put him in power, but we don't talk about that. We have amnesia, selective amnesia there. And then they go, but when we torture, it's good. I mean.
No, well, they say when Bush tortures, it isn't torture.
Oh, that's right. Alberto Gonzalez. No, you're right. In fact, that's a very astute point. He said that we're not going to call it torture, and if someone dies under pressure, it's not even torture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just insane, then.
It's what you get when people of the lie are in power.
Well, it's more, I mean, you know, the establishment's just letting Bush play the fool for him. This is happening because some big boys upstairs want this agenda through.
Yeah, you know, I'm what makes me saddest is I think that there's a pretty good chance of getting the Bush forces removed from Iraq. The resistance has fought pretty hard, and even rich people in the U.S. don't like the way it's going. So I think there's a fairly good chance that the Bush forces will be kicked out of Iraq. But I don't see how we're going to win back civil liberties in the U.S.
Well, you're right. That was the real target all along. He told his biographer in 99, he said, I'm going to be a war president because then my domestic policies can't be questioned. So people always think it's the oil or Iraq, and those are hors d'oeuvres. But the main meal, the main entree is America.
It could be so.
Well, you know, I've had congressmen on who are Republican lately, like Ron Paul, saying Bush may start martial law. He may actually start arresting people. I mean, he may actually grow a little black mustache under his nose.
He could. You know, I wouldn't put it past him. You know, I don't think he has much in the way of scruples. There's probably not much he would refuse to do because he would think it's wrong. What they're planning, I can't tell. I don't know.
Well, if there's more terror, that'll sure be convenient for them. Wonder what'll be, who'll be behind that. Final segment with our guest. We're going to try to come back and take a call or two quickly for our guest. Stay with us. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, Infowars.com.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
The long wait is over. The Order of Death is out on DVD. And my re-edited remastered, updated 2000 infiltration of the elite compound, the Bohemian Grove. Learn the secrets of the elite that make Skull and Bones pale in significance. That is remastered on the same DVD. Two films, $24.95, and each additional copy is $9.95. And yes, you're authorized and encouraged to make copies for nonprofit educational purposes. I've always done that because I believe in getting the information out first and foremost. So this Christmas, be sure and visit this holiday season, Infowars.com. A lot of big specials we're offering right now at Infowars.com. Organ and membership at PrisonPlanet.tv. Going back to our guest, Richard Stallman, who is the founder of the free software movement. I mean, he's the guy when you see Linux and you hear about all these other systems out there that basically the establishment doesn't like. This guy is one of the granddaddies of all of this. I've been very honored to have him. Richard, are you game to take a call or two here real fast?
Sure, but I should point out that the system's real name is GNU.
Exactly.
Linux is a misnomer.
But I got to use a term for them to connect to.
Yep.
Or I'd be speaking GNU to them. I'm not from the planet GNU. Lame attempt at humor, sir. Let's talk to Barbara in Texas, then we'll go to Mike in is it L.A. or Louisiana. Barbara, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stallman and Alex.
Hi.
I wish I had all day to talk to you, Dr. Stallman. It's just fascinating. Open source versus proprietary software. My husband's also a software architect, and he's been trying to get businesses to use open source forever because it's cost-effective, it's maintainable, it has better integrity because it's constant updates from engineers all over the world. My questions are Sony. Have you heard about the, of course you probably heard about
yes.
the new software.
Yes, I should point out open source is the way people talk about free software when they don't want to raise issues of ethics and freedom. That's the way to talk about more or less the same software, but in a way that focuses solely on practical benefits. So I never use that term. I want to talk about ethics and freedom. Even though it's the same software, it's important for people to understand that it's an ethical issue and a political issue. If they use it because it's more powerful and reliable, which sometimes it is, well, that's good, but they need to value the freedom, too.
Well, I notice that you're obsessed with semantics, and that's important because they're changing the words, they're manipulating the words as cultural symbols.
Yes, but anyway, I do want to answer your question. Sony implemented digital restrictions management on some of their fake CDs, and they did it in a way that it did every other nasty thing that anyone could possibly imagine. And because of that, they're getting a lot of flack. So, for instance, it puts back doors into your computer, it spies on you, and not only that, they even copied some free software and didn't tell people, which
exactly.
was a violation of the license.
Well, it was John McCain who said they want to do a thing where it makes your computer blow up.
Well, that I don't know how they could make the computer blow up, but they could certainly take it over if it.
Well, that was the mindless term. I mean, that was the term he used, obviously, Fry.
Yeah. Any case, so Sony is getting a lot of criticism, and it deserves criticism because it tried to implement digital restrictions management, DRM, stopping people from copying the music. It's wrong to stop people from copying. And the thing is, Sony did it in a way that also breaks the security of your machine.
I'll tell you what, we got a...
Sir,
we have a 70-second break, a little five-minute segment. Will you stay with us so Barbara can finish and so I can go to Mike? Is that okay, Mr.
Yeah.
Stallman? Okay, we got a break right now. We'll be right back with the third hour. 5 minutes with our guest, and we'll take a few more calls. Then our next guest is coming on. So stay with us, third hour in 70 seconds. Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645. Hello, folks.